Good afternoon. Today is Monday, October the 13th, 283rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon out of the construction zone into real life.
Yes,
Gary
indeed.
Eagles.
Yes, great to be here again, Brian.
Yeah, not too much sawdust this time.
No.
That's an impressive thing.
It's they're getting down to the, they're wrapping it up.
Really? You're going to be able to beat the season?
The Tyvek wrap, yes, is going on as we speak. And two more weeks, they expect to be buttoned up by Halloween. And I consider that a real treat, if that's true.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, boy. I just hope it's not a trick.
We got to talk about red curb painting, though.
Red curb
when we come back, yeah.
All right.
However, you brought somebody who is not wearing a construction hat with you.
Yes, I did.
What's this all about?
Well, I have brought with me a special guest, Linnea Mandel. Linnea is a curriculum specialist with the County Office of Education. And we're here today to talk primarily about a partnership program that we have that she heads up with Humboldt State University and College of the Redwoods. But she also wears some other hats, and we might be able to have time to get to those items, too.
Ooh, hat wearing.
Yes.
It's going to be a good one when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles and Lene Mandel. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Let's see, I got childhood and healthcare. Which do you prefer, Dr. Sir Eagles?
I have to go with childcare.
No, childhood or healthcare. Nice try. Glad to see you're listening that intently.
I try to have it always. You know,
okay.
A little bit of both.
Here we go. Child. This is from Mary Calderon in 1974 said, quote, "Our children are not going to be just our children. They're going to be other people's husbands and wives and parents of our grandchildren." How's that for a
wise perception?
Yeah. Frightening thought.
That's why we better do a pretty darn good job with today's generation of kids, because they'll be our future leaders.
How much has that changed? Certainly the ethnicity has changed. The standards of accountability have changed. Notice I'm not saying better or worse. It changed over the years. Are we doing a better job? At the end of that senior year, are they better prepared today than they were 50 years ago?
Well, I guess that depends on your frame of reference in terms of what might be better.
For life.
I believe that we are earnestly moving in the right direction in terms of encouraging more students to complete high school and go on to some type of post-secondary education in preparation for the world of work. So many jobs today require more than just a high school education. So in that regard, yes, we are preparing more because we're having higher success rates, lower dropout rates, and more students going on to further their education. And I'm not just talking about college. I'm also talking about, you know, trade schools, apprenticeship programs, and the like.
And are they better prepared for life?
Well, that's interesting. Better prepared for life. Well, I'll tell you, since life changes so much today, I think they'd be very good the day after they graduate. I'm not sure, 2 or 3 years later, because we always have to keep in constantly reminding ourselves that lifelong learning is essential these days.
Lene, how about from your perspective, working with, we didn't have minorities 50 years ago in our area. I mean, there were the Indians. Okay, but they were part. I mean, they're part of us. We didn't have the culturalness that is here now in Humboldt and Del Norte County. You might see a little bit of something at Humboldt State, maybe a little bit at CR, but you really didn't see it in the K-12 system, how has that influence resulted in kids either being better prepared or not as well prepared for life outside of K-12?
Well, we need to do a different kind of preparation than we did in the past. The students that are finishing school now are going into a very international world. And
thanks for not using that word, the G word. Oh. Yeah. I do appreciate it. Okay.
They need to be able to work with people who are from different parts of the world, different cultures, and different language groups. And part of the projects that we're doing here are helping the families who don't speak English at home and the students who come into the schools without learning English to strengthen their English and learn English as quickly as they can while maintaining their primary language for the future. And also encouraging students in the public schools to expand their horizons so that they learn more languages and are better prepared for the workplace. I just participated in a webinar where they said that students who graduate and go into all kinds of businesses earn 15% more if they have a second language in their skill set.
And that certainly would seem to make a lot more sense. If nothing else, more hireable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes them a more versatile employee, certainly. And you're right, Brian. The community here locally has changed dramatically over the years with other minority group cultures moving here to the North Coast area. And what we want to do is ensure that the parents of the children who are in our schools feel comfortable about participating in the school activity and are able to really support their children.
Everybody,
and that's one of the
everybody.
Goals. Yeah, and that's a goal for all parents. And Linnea's work is focusing in on those who do not have necessarily the English background, but we want the same outcome for them. We want them to actively participate. And so this parent partnership program is quite multidimensional, which includes not only parent language education, but also education about what the American school system is and how these parents can actually help their children with the process.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319. We'll be back with more from Lene Mandow and Gary Eagles.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles and Lene Mandow out of the County Office of Ed. Gary, before the break, you were talking about participation. Lene, certainly reference points are a critical thing. But Gary said something that I found intriguing. With the Latino population, and I guess Hmong, what are the other ones that you work with that are non-primary English-speaking?
The Spanish-speaking community and the Hmong-speaking community are the two largest language groups in Humboldt County, and the others have just very, very small numbers, one or two families here and there.
So you don't have to focus too much attention in those areas. How many of them are American-born? Are we seeing that second generation, or are most of these folks from the old country, wherever the old country is?
Most of the majority of the children are born here.
So they're
many
up
of their
to speed.
Parents are not.
That's what I was wondering with the parents, too, because I would think it's different if you're talking to somebody. I suppose the primary feeder would be Mexico rather than Central America. So just use that as a general reference. School is different there.
Yes.
Their references are when they grew up.
Yes.
Rather than their kids growing up. So you're having to kind of do an etch-a-sketch, clearing the table and starting all over again. How do you break down what their preconceived notions are?
Well, we try to help the parents learn as much about the schools that their children attend as possible, and as much about the community. As you know, when you're trying to learn English at the same time as working full-time and supporting your children, it's a challenge. There's a lot to do. And so in our parent classes, we are not only covering ways to learn English, we have formal ESL classes, but we also cover information about how you can support your children with their homework and what the different activities are that happen at each child's school. And if you need information about medical care or social services or educational services, where you can find that information.
Is there a likelihood of participation in PTA or whatever it's called? I know it's not called that anymore, but
parent, teacher, student association.
I'm in the mud.
Yeah,
I don't care about the kids. It's parents and teachers. That's where the focus is. Do they participate as much? Are they willing to? Is there a hesitation about?
There's always an initial hesitation, but the parent program has encouraged the parents to participate in the parent organizations. As a matter of fact, part of our partnership with Humboldt State is working with students in the translation and interpretation classes. We have a group of students at HSU who are working with the PTO at South Bay and Pine Hill schools, and they interpret for all of their monthly PTO meetings. And we have.
Does that bring them into the group, or does that keep them permanently exiled from the group?
No, we have parents at the PTO who speak English only, who speak Spanish only, and who speak both. And we have bilingual college students helping to interpret, and we've increased the participation in that PTO quite dramatically. And the parents
so,
are happy.
So, Mr. Eagles, when are you going to roll this out to every school so every PTA gets an opportunity to take advantage of this?
Well, actually, you'd be surprised how many programs and schools that Linnea is party to. Pacific Union, Fortuna, just to name a couple. Historically, we've even had other parent programs in Klamath Trinity, even different, a slightly different focus, but essentially with the same goals of helping parents take on a more active role in the support of their children's education.
Are the minority populations more apt to participate in their kids' education, or less apt to?
Well, I don't want to generalize it, but I will tell you that when we offer these parent programs, we get an extraordinarily positive response from the parents, and they commit to multiple sessions. Their attendance is actually very good. Linnea, why don't you talk about a little bit about the structure and some of the other schools that you're party to?
Okay. So the way that we're able to offer these classes is with a combination of Humboldt State, College of the Redwoods, and County Office. We started the classes just with the county office and provided classes for parents about how they can best support their kids and encourage them to go on to education beyond high school. And when we talked to the parents about ways that they could best support their kids, one of the first things they said is, we need to learn English too, because then we can participate more fully in the school community. So we learned that College of the Redwoods recently got state funding that can provide free ESL classes for adults, money that formerly went to adult education and is now being channeled through the community colleges. And with CR had been offering these classes, but very small participation because the parents didn't know about them. You can't go online and read in English if you don't know English.
That's where that public education really rises to the surface. KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back continuing with Linnea Mandow and Gary Eagles.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lene Mandow and Gary Eagles from the County Office of Ed. Lene, before the break, you were talking a little bit about a sizable amount of the minority population parents recognizing that, well, and I suppose it has happened with the Italians and the Portuguese and everybody else, the Germans and everybody who's come through, is that to assimilate, you need to assimilate. You need to understand the culture. You need to understand the language. And you just kind of have to do. It seems as if, stereotypically, the Latino population and the Hmong population have embraced that same concept also. You know, at home, one thing, but the kids have got to learn English. Now, parents are going, yeah, us too?
Well, the parents, what research shows is that when kids and families are able to be bilingual and bicultural, they do the best. And our parents have found that when they can learn English, they also can support their kids better. So the way the program got started was that Humboldt State, part of the parent program there included parent liaisons who were people who speak the language of the community and could help with outreach, because many of these families don't have computers or may not read in English. So the liaisons would do phone trees, call up all the parents, let them know that there was going to be a class starting.
Support group, kind of. I mean, kind of like a sponsor or a mentor kind of thing?
Pretty much a communication helper, community liaison who sets up phone trees or goes to community locations and makes announcements and passes out flyers and tells parents, hey, we're starting a class. And it was very successful. We suddenly got very large signups for the classes that had not had much sign up before because the parents didn't know about it. And so the last piece that was needed to make all of it work was to be able to have childcare during the classes. Most of our parents in these classes are working long hours, mostly between 8 and 12 hours a day, and they still are willing to go to class after they get off work. And they need a place for their kids, so we have some snacks, and we will have childcare and activities. And then the parents signed up very quickly. There was a lot of participation, and they've been very very positive about the classes.
I would imagine this is one of those things you want to keep going and going and going and going. However, hopefully there's no need to keep going and going and going and going. How much of a commitment do you guys have to keep this going?
Well, I would say it's a multi-year commitment because all levels of education understand the value of what's being done here. So as long as there is a need out there, we're going to do our best to bring it together. I think with College of the Redwoods getting more actively involved in adult education program in this area, and certainly Humboldt State University's desire to support and encourage more youth to complete school more successfully, go on to college. And of course, that's part of our commitment as well. And we help support the childcare pieces because the type of funding that Humboldt has or CR has doesn't cover that. I have the opportunity to bring that final piece together, which makes it possible for parents.
So this is still categorical funding?
No. I'm using, it is categorical for College of the Redwoods and Humboldt State. It's not for me. One of the things, too, Brian, that I think is important, we've been engaged in some form of parent education and outreach now for 9 or 10 years. This modification and expansion with the partnership with CR and HSU is just in its second year. But one of the reasons we stayed around in that business of parent education all these years is because we saw a dramatic impact on parents getting involved. You asked, for example, about, well, do they get involved in PTAs or the PTSAs? And yes, that's part of it. But they also show up to open houses. They also show up to teacher conferences. They're doing those things as well.
I wrote down parent conferences, wondering, because I know that it's always been an enigma for me, and I have not been able to understand how parents don't show up for a parent-teacher conference. It just stuns me. But I know that you go in and you can tell somebody wasn't there before you, and they're really not expecting whoever it is after you to have anybody there to find out about the kid. So I was wondering about
that's one of the reasons. It's been huge, and that's one of the reasons why the K-12 community has said, please keep these going, because we offer these programs at the school district's request when they see needs. And the same schools come back all the time and say, yes, it was so valuable. It was a strong support.
What about those who don't? Do they just not have those populations in their school?
There are some schools around here that don't have the kind of need that some of the others do. But Alice Birney does, Pacific Union does, Fortuna does, and there are others that historically have had quite a large number of population of non-native English-speaking children and parents.
Lene, how many are there in the county? How many kids going to school benefit from this program or even participate? How many families participate?
Wow. I don't have all the exact numbers, but we rotate the programs around from one school to another. For example, right now we have generally between 40 and 60 parents participating in Fortuna. In Eureka, usually 15 to 20 parents at any one time in a class. Similar size in Arcata.
And the parents will graduate out or complete the process, and then you get more participation?
If they participate in our six-week intensive parent class, they actually do have a formal graduation and receive a future student ID that's made from Humboldt State that says future student and has a picture on there. The person who makes those IDs says that she gets a kick out of actually seeing those students when they eventually get to college and come in as freshmen. They show them the picture of here they were when they were 12 and their parents participated in the parent program. So the parents who do the six-week intensive, they do just that course, and then we encourage them to continue to be involved in the parent groups that they have at the campus. We also have the ongoing ESL classes, and those are open entry, open exit. Some of the parents who get up to a higher level in English transfer to College of the Redwoods to their credit ESL classes or credit English classes, and we also encourage them to take other classes at College of the Redwoods that will help them improve their job skills or get their high school diploma if they don't have one, or learn how to use computers. We're actually working right now on a project where parents will have an opportunity to learn English at the same time as they're learning basic skills on the computer. And we recently got a large donation of computers from Green Diamond Resource. They gave us 95 computers, which our volunteers are refurbishing, and we're going to give them to the families after they finish their ESL vocabulary and computer introduction course.
So they got a nice carrot.
So that will really encourage them, but we have found that when we gave the families computers before, it was so new to them, if they were unfamiliar with technology, they really didn't know how to get going with it. But when we give them help and the kids are learning more about the computers at their schools, then it really helps them a lot. We're trying to avoid that economic divide where kids from wealthier families have computers at home, kids from lower income families don't have computers, and yet for the new state testing and Common Core, having those skills is so important, and we're trying to even that out.
Oh, and don't forget the county library hardly being open, so that you don't have that as an access either. KINS, News and Information Time, 3:43. We'll be back with more from Lene Mandau and Gary Eagles.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles and Lene Mandau. Having an outreach into any of the subpopulations, trying to get kids more involved and the parents more involved in their kids, has got to be a win. Gary, how do you know how much to do, how many programs to have, how far to how do you structure that thing?
We take feedback from our schools. And we try to be very customer sensitive. The other thing is that we're trying to look at what is it is essential for students to walk away with from their K-12 experience. When they graduate from high school, what really does set them up for future success? About three and a half, four years ago, the state engaged in a conversation in Sacramento about recognizing young people who graduate from high school biliterate, in other words, literate in two or more languages. And so the state legislature passed a program, a law, certifying what they call the seal of biliteracy for reading and speaking a second language. And while the state set up a basic structure for it, each county, each locale was able to take a look at that and establish within that their own standards. And we jumped on that right away because we do see the value of children graduating and being able to be truly literate in more than one language. And that's another portion of a program that Linnea operates here. And we've had 2 years under our belt now of recognizing young people. And we will continue to do that. And I'd like Linnea to talk about what that seal means at graduation in the process.
When a student earns the state seal of biliteracy and has it added to their diploma, we are saying that they're ready to go into the workplace and use English and another language effectively. And they may not be perfectly fluent, but they have the ability to listen, speak, read, and write in more than one language. They can go into the business world. It can be a positive jump-off place for going into college and working in a whole variety of different fields.
Do the colleges recognize it?
Yes.
So it is something that gives these kids a competitive advantage when they're looking for
acceptance.
Yes,
that's one of the
reasons
why the state created the program, is to get that university-level recognition.
Does it matter what language?
Nope. And this year we are hoping that we will have the first ever graduates in the state who have accomplished strong literacy in Yurok and Hoopa languages. We have
the Indian languages qualify. That's cool.
We have a small cohort of students who are studying very hard in their Hoopa and Yurok languages at Hoopa High School, and we hope that they will be able to pass the assessments to be certified in those languages.
Very cool indeed. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having us again.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Gary Eagles and Linnea Mandow. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.